Okay, thank you, Peter. I give the floor to Jessamyn.
Thank you, Hans. So agenda paper 6 then is about leases. The paper gives an update on implementation of IFRS 16 and it summarises all of the activities that the board and the staff have done to support those implementing the new standard over the 15 months since we issued it. Paragraph 6 summarises the various activities along with the number of stakeholders that have been making use of them. Now, out of everything we've done, the implementation activity that has been most used by stakeholders has been the educational webinar series. So far, we've produced 5 webinars on different areas of the standard and made those available on the website. And details of the topics covered and the number of listeners is in paragraph 9. In the webinars, we aim to cover areas of the standard in an understandable and accessible way, and when it's relevant, we've also used the webinars to address questions that we've heard from those that are implementing IFRS 16. So the first 4 topics were selected because they're areas of the standard that contain new requirements that might need some judgment, or they're areas that generated a lot of discussion during the leases project. The 5th webinar topic on modifications was identified as being a useful topic based on questions that we've heard. Paragraphs 10 to 17 then provide information about the questions we've had, and you may note from the paper that we haven't gone into detail about the technicalities of those queries, and that's because the nature of the questions we've had since we issued the standard hasn't highlighted any specific areas where there are significant implementation issues. Instead, the questions we've had have covered pretty much every area of the standard. And we think that that spread of questions, along with the nature of the questions that we've had, are reflective of the normal process of practice development as companies work on understanding and applying the new requirements. Or, put another way, the reason that I'm not sitting here telling you technical details about specific queries for you to consider is because we just haven't had any questions that make us think that any standard setting activity would be helpful. So in terms of responding to the queries we've had then, we provide direct answers to questions about what IFRS 16 says and why it requires what it requires. However, we also get questions that are interpretive or transaction specific. So for example, a company might ask us how to account for a particular contract. And in those cases, we generally don't provide specific answers and think it wouldn't really be appropriate to do so. One reason for that is that we can never fully understand the facts and circumstances around a particular contract in the way that a company or its auditor would. So in those cases, we often do advise companies to talk to their auditors or to their industry peer groups, for example. That said, however, those kinds of questions do give valuable information about our implementation support activities. So one example is that the educational webcast on modifications came about precisely because we had heard questions from several different sources about applying the modification requirements to particular scenarios. So whilst we couldn't provide specific answers to individuals about their contracts, what we can do is provide educational information that's available to everyone and that is potentially useful to a wide range of stakeholders. And we have had anecdotal feedback that when we've used the webinars or other materials in that way, that it has provided helpful information to people that have questions. So the final section of the paper is about future plans. We continue to think that the approach of listening to stakeholders and preparing relevant educational material is effective, both in supporting implementation and also in avoiding any potential interference with normal practice development. At this point, we're planning to produce at least one further webinar on disclosure. And we also plan to continue encouraging communication about IFRS 16 to monitor implementation and understand what, if any, further activities would be useful to those implementing the standard. So we don't have any questions for you today, but we would be very grateful for any views that the board has about our implementation activities. So on that note, I will hand over for discussion.
Amaro?
Quick comment. I think it's excellent for us to have an update first of all, about activities on implementation, particularly in this project that is very important for most jurisdictions, I would say. And in this standard, we didn't have the transition resource group. So I think the way staff have handled the queries and this feedback is very important. I think I would command particularly the webinars, identifying the issues that are important. And the fact that we do have a specific email for these queries to be sent. But I think it's also important to say, and this was very much what you mentioned about the transactions submitted by a particular company, and you said, generally, we do not respond. I would say we do not respond to... Yeah. But because not to send the wrong message that from time to time we might, we almost never have all facts and circumstances and could be in very tricky situations if we do respond queries. So I think this is the only amendment that I would make to your report, and also not to create the expectation that we do have staff all the time receiving and analyzing queries. About a standards that we do approve. I think it was very useful feedback, and I really think the webinars are really helpful to people.
By the way, only to say, Amar, I think your clarification is actually accurate as well, in that we never provide contract-specific answers, in a sense. I think probably Catherine's generally fits into that. If we get a specific question, that we never say the answer is, but what we might do say is, look, in this situation, it sounds like that might be, say, a lease modification, and if it is, you might want to go to. I think I've said it the wrong way. So what I'd say is, in that situation, the relevant requirements are here. Go and read the relevant requirements in this sense and have a conversation with. So what I'm saying is, we might point to the relevant requirements in the standard, but not at any level are we saying here.
It's on page 1 to 7.
I think what's happened in the leases, or the rollout of the leases, has been really, really good, and I think provides a good example for other standards as we release them going forward. One thing that did occur to me just in looking at the planning, we don't specifically talk about, I don't think, differentiating between users and other types of constituents in the plan. And what we seem to have picked up, and what I'm certainly hearing on IFRS 9 and IFRS 15, is that the users engage later in the process than others. Your final planned webinar is going to be on disclosures, and I wondered whether that was aimed at preparers in preparing their disclosures, or whether in fact we're starting to think now about addressing user requirements and understanding what they're getting. Because it seems to me we're sort of getting into that space where they need to understand what's coming at them.
The plan for that webinar at the moment, albeit that it is not written yet, is very much to explain the requirements and why they are there, based on everything we've heard from users over the course of the project and since we published. So it is aimed at preparers to, you know, get the disclosures to be as useful as they possibly can, albeit that my expectation is that it probably would be useful to both, in the sense that it will, you know, give users an understanding of what they can expect, but it will almost be circular, in the sense that it will be based on feedback we've heard from them anyway.
So then I'd suggest just thinking about whether there are specific activities we think we can tailor in this last phase, if you like, of implementation for the user base.
And for example, what it might be that if, or, you know, whether it's a webinar or not, that we have the base sort of webinar that is focused on more providing the preparers with the information and background to why the requirements are there, and therefore what they should be thinking about. And possibly we'll see that, and maybe if that is sort of longer and more detailed for preparers, we think about pulling out and developing something maybe in a slightly different format that would be more focused on, you know, the investor side of things in terms of the information that they can expect to see.
Gary?
Yeah, thank you. And I agree, no need for indications of standard setting activity, and I talking to the preparer community. I think the standards held up well, not necessarily popular, but well. It does a difference. But last week, the FASB had open meeting on handful of questions. Is there anything we should be aware of out of that for out of their discussion or conclusions? Or?
I would say no. So the FASB have had two meetings where they've looked at some particular issues. One was in November and one was last week. And I think they've looked at, it's around seven issues, and the majority of those have been FASB specific. In all bar one, which they haven't decided what to do with yet, they've decided that it's not necessary to do anything, and there's one that they didn't make any decisions on. It was more informative last week, and I think that one will be coming back, but at the moment there isn't anything to be aware of.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? No? I guess that brings us to the end of the meeting. Thank you very much.